Good morning, church. This morning's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading from verse 36. So if you care to follow in your church, in your Bibles or your devices, it's Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. Let's bow our heads in prayer before we come to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for this morning. But in all our circumstances, you are faithful. Lord, you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, now as we come to your word, guide our hearts, our minds, and Lord, may you be real to us, just as you were real to the first disciples on the day that you ascended into heaven. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be at work in us, and we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may or may not be aware that a couple of days ago, Elon Musk launched his SpaceX Starship from Texas. It was this 120-meter long unmanned rocket, one of the most powerful rockets to be built so far. And they hoped that it would do a 90-minute space trip and return. The launching was live casted around the world. Everyone cheered as it blasted off from Texas, the spaceport. But 4 minutes into the flight, this happened. After months and years of hard work and planning, anticipation, excitement, and billions of dollars spent, it just exploded. I mean, it was an anti-climax, wasn't it? Now, we have been looking at the Gospel of Luke for the past 4 weeks or so. Well, Luke, who wrote this book, to a guy by the name of Theophilus, to explain to him who Jesus was and what he had done. And Luke did this careful investigation of all the life of Jesus. And then after 24 chapters of a bit of a roller coaster account of who Jesus is and what happened to him, the Gospel of Luke ends with the ascension, kind of an anticlimax. Now, Jesus died and he rose back to life after 3 days, and he appeared to his disciples as many times. In fact, in the sequel to the book of Luke, the book of Acts talks about that Jesus over 40 days he appeared to his disciples and gave them convincing proof that he was alive. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And the disciples, just imagine the disciples, they must have been thrilled, overjoyed, excitement. There's pride, there's a bit of a spring in their step, right, as they walk around, because their hero, Jesus, is alive. He's with them, their rabbi. They thought they lost him forever. And he had done this unthinkable thing by defeating death. But then he turns around and says, okay, boys, that's it. I'm done. I'm going. It's all done. It's all yours. Bye. And then he leaves. Isn't that what happens in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 51? Well, that's not really nice, isn't it? Just raising up their hopes and just and say, okay, bye, I'm going. While he was blessing them, he left them and he was taken up to heaven, we are told. The Master, the resurrected Lord Jesus, has just left them. There was separation, kind of abandonment. They had all the reasons to be disappointed, sad, and perhaps angry at God. But if you look at the next couple of verses, verses 52 to 53, they had a different reaction, didn't they? They worshipped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It looks like they were more happy that now he's gone. And they stayed in Jerusalem continually in the temple, praising God. Now that is strange, isn't it? That is very unexpected, isn't it? Now what caused this response? What is the significance of Jesus going up to heaven, or what is the significance of ascension? That's what we're going to think about this morning. The very first thing that we learn from this passage is heaven is real. Heaven is real. How do we know? Luke says that Jesus was taken up before them into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, as the disciples were looking up into Jesus, going up to heaven, there were two angels who appeared, and they said the same thing, didn't they? Said, the same Jesus that you saw taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Later in Acts chapter 7, you'll remember Stephen, one of Jesus' disciples, was stoned to death. And as he was being stoned to death, he looks up and he says, see, I see heaven open. And I see the Lord Jesus standing and the right hand of God. And Jesus himself, in John chapter 14, said something similar, right? He said he's going away to prepare a place for us. And he described it as my Father's house, which has many rooms. So Luke wants his readers to know that heaven is not a made-up place, an idea of Christians. It's not a myth. It's not an imagination or a fairy tale. It is a real place. Jesus came from heaven and he ascended back to heaven. And he will return from heaven one day. A real place. I don't know about you. I feel quite proud when I know that someone I know has achieved something great. I have become a famous person. I'm proud of one of my friends who actually back in Sri Lanka. He's a renowned gynecologist. And whenever he comes up on TVs or on interviews or on YouTube, I feel a sense of pride in me. You know, he's my friend. He's one of me, one of us. And he's famous. I think this is what Luke wants us to know in verses 36 to 42 of Luke chapter 24. The one who ascended into heaven is one of us. Is one of us. Jesus, when he appeared to his disciples, they all were terrified, afraid, because they thought they're seeing a ghost. Now, Jesus goes to great lengths, doesn't he, to prove that he's not a ghost. He asks them, why are you troubled? Why are you terrified in your minds? Then he shows his hands and his feet. He says, look at my hands. The nail marks are still there. Touch and feel him. And when they're still in unbelief, and they still don't believe, he says, okay, give me something to eat. They've got some fish at hand, and he eats a piece of fish. Why go to all these lengths? And Luke warns them and us to know that the one who went into heaven, Jesus, is one of us in every way. He has a body like us. He is one of us. He has flesh. He has blood. He has bone. He can speak. He can stand. He can sit. He can think. He is one of us. But as we saw last week, and even this week, although he is one of us, there are some things that is a bit different to him as well, right? I mean, he can appear and disappear from places. He can walk through doors. And there's this sense that he's also his same, but different. He had this resurrected body, a glorious body. He is one of us, with a glorious body. He's one of us. Heaven is real. And he is one of us. We have one of us in heaven. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, these two points are huge, isn't it? These are humongous. These have great significance for us. Now, I don't want to beat around the bush this morning. But there are some among us who have entered your last season in life on earth. And there are others who have lost loved ones. And there are others who are expecting your loved ones to leave us soon. Now, death is always a sad, devastating thing, isn't it? There is separation, there's loneliness, there's fear. Fear of losing someone or fear of facing death ourselves. But it should give us great comfort and joy and hope and peace to know that death is not the end for believers. Heaven is real. That we are going home into our Father's house. It should give us great joy and hope to know that when we die, that we won't go into nothingness. Paul says to the Corinthian church, when Jesus returns, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. We will receive glorious bodies, sickness-free, pain-free, cancer-free, death-free bodies. And again, this should give us great comfort, isn't it? For all of us, especially those of us who are presently suffering, who have sicknesses, limitations, and terminal illnesses, that this body that we have, this shell, will be discarded. And we will receive glorious, resurrected bodies like our Lord Jesus. But wait, there is more, isn't it? There's more. In heaven, we won't be alone. There's one of us, Jesus, waiting for us. So if you have a relationship with Jesus today, fantastic. Because our friend Jesus is waiting for us to receive us. What a joyous thing to have in front of our mind every day as we live our lives, because death is a reality. There's 100% chance that we all will die. Now, we've talked about death a lot, but what about for the living? What about for the living? Is Jesus good that we have someone like us in heaven? Is it good only for when we die? No, friends, it is good for us when we are alive. Because Hebrews 4 tells us that we have a great high priest. One like us is standing before God's throne as our great high priest. And because he is one of us, friends, he can sympathize with us. He knows our struggles and he intercedes for us. He understands when we are going through difficult seasons, and we can approach him to find grace to help us in times of need. And this should give us great confidence, isn't it, when we pray. When we come to him in our prayers, in all circumstances, to know that we have one of us standing right before God, interceding for us. And this should give us great reasons to hold on, hold firm to the hope, the faith that we profess. And a third reason why ascension is significant is because it means that his mission is complete. Jesus' mission is complete. Jesus reminds us, right, that his suffering, death on a cross, resurrection on the third day was part of his mission. That's why he came. Which God planned before the time began. God's mission was recorded, revealed in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, which is to say the whole of Old Testament. Old Testament looked forward for the day when Jesus would come and live and die and raise back to life. And in verses 45 to 47, if you look, when Jesus opened their eyes, he opens their minds to understand that the scripture, so that everything, they can see that everything happened according to plan. Nothing was a surprise. Nothing was plan as you go. No, it was God's plan all along. And Jesus fulfilled God's word. Now he has completed his mission. Which means, friends, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing, absolutely nothing else to do. All done, finished, complete, full stop, no more penalties to pay, no more sacrifices to offer, no more messiahs to come. And the Bible describes Jesus in heaven as seated, except for the occasion when Stephen saw him standing up. Seated means work's done. I'm finished. I'm resting. That's it, isn't it? That's it. Ascension means his mission is complete. What does it mean for us that his mission is complete? First, if you're a believer of Jesus, then we must be having full of confidence that Jesus has done everything for our salvation. On the cross, work of our salvation was done. He has paid the penalty full once for all. He has borne our judgment. He has given us access to the throne room of the Father, as we saw on Good Friday. So rest in confidence. Rest in the comfort that nothing now can separate you from the love of God. And second, if you're not a believer yet, if you don't believe in Jesus yet, can I ask you why not? Are you waiting for someone greater than Jesus to come? Are you trusting in someone other than Jesus? Now, are you trusting in your own efforts to save yourself on the day of judgment? And how confident are you that your efforts will be sufficient? That you can stand on your own on the day of judgment without Jesus? And if you haven't believed in him, there is no one else to believe, right? And as Peter says, there is no other name under heaven which is given to men for their salvation. If not Jesus, there is none. So today, would you repent of your ways if you haven't believed in Jesus yet? Which means to stop rejecting God's offer of forgiveness and believe in him, which means to accept that Jesus has done everything for us to be forgiven and for us to have access to God's presence as his child. And that would be the best decision that you would make in your whole life. His mission is complete. But did you notice not everything in Scripture is complete, right? All the prophecies in the Old Testament isn't complete, especially the one that Jesus talked about. There's one thing still pending. Verse 47, the preaching of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Because Jesus' mission is complete, friends, our mission begins. Our mission begins. Verse 48, have a look. Jesus tells that his disciples are to be witnesses of all these things. They have heard him, they have seen him, they have spoken with him, they have touched him, they have experienced the resurrected Lord Jesus. Now they are to go and be witnesses of all these. And they are given the mission to take this good news of completed mission of Jesus to the ends of the earth, to nations, to people groups, starting from Jerusalem. But they were not to go alone, right? They were not to go on their own on this mission. Jesus tells them that they should wait till they receive power from above. He's talking about the day of Pentecost, isn't it? Which happened 40 days after his ascension. 40 days after his resurrection, sorry. And as we read the book of Acts, we will find since the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came on the first disciples, they were on fire, weren't they? The gospel, the good news of Jesus, started from Jerusalem, went to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They were unstoppable. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has empowered them. And today, the church, which started with 12 disciples, 12 followers of Jesus, has grown to more than 2.38 billion people. But the sad reality is that's just 1/3 of the world's population. There's still 2/3 of the world population who haven't believed, and more of them who haven't heard the name of Jesus. And today, we are the witnesses of Jesus. We are the witnesses of the first witnesses of Jesus, right? It's like we are in this relay race, and they've passed on the baton, and so we've taken it, and we are running with the gospel. We are to do that. Now we sing one of these songs here, which is called Facing a Task Unfinished. And one of the verses has these words: we bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message, ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. And this is the reason the global church exists. This is why Baptist Community Church Bold exists. This is our mission, isn't it? Guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by living as followers and witnesses of Jesus. And this is why one of our values is outreach. We share God's love with as many as possible, both locally and elsewhere. We want to be channels of sharing God's love to the world here in Bode and elsewhere. And might I say, this is the church mission, this is the church value, but the reason God rescued you and me is because of that, isn't it? To be witnesses. To be his witnesses to our families, to our neighbors, friends, work colleagues, and strangers. You are a missionary to wherever you are. Now, I've said this before. Because you're a missionary to wherever you are, you don't have to get a visa, right? I mean, some of our missionaries have to get a visa. They have to learn languages. They have to get special permits. But you don't. You already have the relationships. You already have God in the door. And I believe God has got you wherever you are, not just to make money, to pay your bills, to educate your family, or pay your fees, to pay your mortgage. No, not just to do that. God has got you there to be a witness to Jesus. To be his presence in the marketplace, in your workplace, in secular spaces. Or do you feel inadequate? Or do you feel ill-prepared? Do you feel afraid? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel ill-equipped? Do you? Join the club. I do too. I feel very unprepared sometimes to share the good news of Jesus. But God brings people along the way, and God knows about that, right? God knew about that. But we are not going to do well on our own. We can't. And that's why, don't you think, that God says, Jesus says, well, wait. wait till I send you the Holy Spirit. Wait till I empower you. But once you are empowered, once you know, once you have this empowerment, then don't stop. Go. Which means, friends, before you go to work, before you go somewhere, before you do your gardening outside, pray that God will bring opportunities, that God will give you words to speak. Which means, friends, take time to learn the word of God, how to share the gospel, how to answer questions. There are some questions we may not be able to answer well. That's okay. Just tell that I really don't know. But there are answers in the Bible. God will. He will open eyes. He will send His Spirit in front of us, before us. He will send His Spirit after us to work. He is the one who will make sense of everything. Now, if you ever get to watch that video of that failed space launch, the last bit when everything went poof, I heard people cheering, and I think, come on, guys. Why are you cheering? Did you see that it just blew up? I mean, what's happening here? And then later on, they commented, actually, they felt this was a success. I mean, this was the first step of something bigger. And they felt, well, actually, getting this thing up from ground was a great achievement. That's why that strange reaction of cheering when it blew up. And the first disciples saw Jesus ascending into heaven. No wonder they worshipped Him, right? No wonder they were filled with great joy. No wonder they continued to praise God in the temple. What else could you do? What else could you have done when you realize that heaven is real? What else would you do when you realize there's one of us in heaven? Jesus. What else would you do that His mission of saving people is complete? What else would you do when you know that you have been given a mission to share this wonderful news that Jesus died and came back to life to save sinners like you and me? We too must be thrilled, joyful, praising God. Because God is good, and He is good all the time, isn't He? Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful, and we praise You and we worship You, Father. We thank You because Your word is true, Your word is powerful. Lord, sometimes we kind of look at the ascension and see, well, is that it? But as we look right into it, we realize how powerful, how significant that is, and how the ascension of Jesus should shape the way we live, the way we speak, the way we interact with others, and even the way we die. So Heavenly Father, we pray, please continue to minister to us through Your Spirit. That Lord, that we will be wonderful witnesses of this good news of Jesus to our neighbors, to our work colleagues, and Lord, perhaps to go out and spread this news to the ends of the earth. And we ask this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.